I'd like to open your Bibles to the book of Romans. Begin by reading in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 16. And we'll take at least some of these verses as we have time. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 16. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, have one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for the reading of the text. Pray, Lord, for your word to speak to us, and that you might work in us according to the measure of faith which you have given to each one of us. And we give thanks and praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as the theme this afternoon has to do with gifts and the service through which we find ourselves ministering, we find that We will then take this theme, which is given here in the text, that each of us ought to minister according to the measure of faith given to us. I guess as we come to a passage like this, we become much more aware that each one of us do have different gifts and abilities. As much as verse 1 tells us that we ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that is, that we ought to enter into service in a self-sacrificial way, we realize that each of us have to operate then on the basis of those gifts God has graciously provided to us. We do not all have the same gifts. But whatever gifts God has given, whatever abilities God has allotted, each of us have to look to the Lord that we might utilize them in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And so, according to the measure of faith which is given to each of us, so we ought to minister one to the other. And I think with this there ought to come a healthy dose of humility, realizing that with gifts we must then recognize that we must serve the Lord as true servants. And a servant is one that is not above his master. Just as the Lord himself girded himself with a towel and took a basin and washed the disciples' feet, teaching them that they ought to likewise serve one another as he was willing to serve them, we ought to realize that we have the same obligation as believers, part of the body of Christ and part of the church of Jesus Christ, the called out assembly, the ecclesia, if you will, that group of believers which is called by God and that is to then serve the Lord. We need to serve the Lord with a measure of faith, with a measure of humility, and with the recognition that each of us are going to possess different gifts. And as we do realize that, we put things in the context of not being, as he says here at the end, be not wise in your own conceits. Certainly, if you know somebody who's conceited and tends to look at themselves like, well, I suppose we could say Donald Trump. He seems to be rather a conceited personality. That is not a good thing as far as our Christian service is concerned. We don't want to be like that. Obviously, everybody has their own personality, and some of that's going to come through. But we all have to learn how to contain ourselves, if you will, with a certain amount of humility in service for the Lord. And I think that is good that we would do that. Let's begin here with verse 3. He says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So here is the first premise, if you will, that we should not think too highly of ourselves when it comes to this area of gifts. The Apostle Paul was very, very gifted. We would have to admit that. I mean, certainly he was a well-learned man. He was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He kept the law with great amount of detail to his Jewish heritage. And we find that he is called an apostle because Jesus himself called him on the road to Damascus. He called him personally. He called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. So we have this sense of exclusivity in Paul's life. He was very much a privileged Jew, as he was taught at the best, at the feet of the best of the Judaistic teachers. He himself was called by the Lord Jesus to be an apostle to the Gentiles. If you will, he went to the school of Arabia, wherever that was located, as it were, on the backside of a desert, you might say. Some of us go away to school, and when we come back, we're somewhat different, right? That is the idea when we go for higher education. We go for higher education in Christian colleges and universities, seminaries, whatever, that we might be refined and then come back and do the work of the ministry. Well, here is the Apostle Paul. It seems like he's taken into the Holy Spirit's confidence, as it were, and he's taught of the Lord how he is to conduct his ministry, and he comes back and he begins his ministry. We see him entering into his work wholeheartedly, unreservedly, self-sacrificingly. In every sense, we hold up the apostle as the epitome of one who is serving God and is honoring the Lord. And maybe we kind of embellish just a little bit too much sometimes these people in the Bible like this. We should not forget that Paul, like Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we all are. Therefore, let me just say this much. Because Paul was so gifted, we might wonder at why he says what he says, except for the fact that the Lord had taught him a good course in humility when he was taken aside by the Spirit of God. The Lord taught him a good course in humility. The things that the apostle went through. You think perhaps maybe when he was holding the jackets of those who stoned Stephen, when Paul reflected upon that, that was quite humbling to him. That he now was one who was serving the Lord, whom he had previously been part and parcel with in persecuting those who were followers of the Lord. You think perhaps as he was on the road to Damascus and the Holy Spirit of God blinded him and took from him his sight and took from him every liberty that one might have because they do have their sight and because they are somewhat in their own frame of mind and will. And the Lord took that from him. He led him away by the hand, so to speak, as others led him to a street called Straight. And at the home of Ananias, there, another man ministered to him who realized that this apostle that he was ministering to, God had somehow given him some revelation about this man, and that Ananias was to help him come to a place where he would realize that Paul was to go and serve the Lord Jesus. You think perhaps as Paul reflected upon all these circumstances, there was some sense of humility that fell upon him? I think so. And the other various experiences that Paul went through, whether it was his shipwreck and God spoke to him as well as to the seamen that were there with him, and how that God indicated to the apostle not to fear, that actually, though they were going to be in a shipwreck, nobody would lose their life, that Paul had to somehow convince the guard and the captain of the boat to have confidence in what he had received as a prophecy, as a revelation from God, that they would be safe, because otherwise the guard probably would have killed the men, especially those who were held as Roman prisoners, and who knows what might have happened if God had not intervened through the apostle. Many different experiences like this were a course in humility that Paul was bound to take, because each one of them humbled himself more and more to realize that God was the one in control, not he. And here we are as Christians, and Paul says that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. We ought to reflect upon what God has done, how he has taken us through many different experiences, how he means for us to learn our course in humility as well, that we might put ourselves below in the sense of exerting our own will or exerting our own desires above the ministry of what God has called us to, and that we ourselves are needing to wait upon God and to exercise those gifts and abilities according to a measure of faith that God gives to us, which is going to immediately cause us to take a great deal of consideration about what we are doing and why we are doing it. Because that measure of faith which we have is not of ourselves, it is of the Lord. As Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so the very faith which we have, the very measure of faith which God gives, is that which is given specifically to us. And we know the word faith, pisteo, to believe or to accept, carries a great deal of definition with it. It's not talking about just one little particular area in our life, but we often refer to our life as a walk of faith and a labor of love and a patience of hope. Walk of faith because each of us are walking in faith as God gives it to us. Yes, we come to faith in Christ. We have an initial moment of believing and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our true Savior, but then that is the beginning of our walk of faith. It is not the end of it. And we walk with that walk of faith and we embrace our labor of love in Christ. And that labor of love becomes that service to which God has given to us, and we labor in that service in love to Christ for the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And that walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope looks forward to what Christ has promised to us at the consummation of all things, at the end of all things. And so we look ahead to the Lord and to all that He has promised us, and we walk by faith in view of all that God has promised. He says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." I thoroughly believe that if we could get a hold of this concept of the sense of true humility, not a false humility, but a true sense of it, in context to what God is doing and has done for us and what He wants us to do, we would not have as much problems in churches as there currently probably is between people. We would tend to overlook other people's faults very quickly when we realize that we have an ample supply of our own. We would tend to realize that the gifts that other people have are different than our own. Therefore, we should not come into this with a great deal of expectation that everybody is going to be doing exactly what we expect them to do, because they should be looking to what God wants them to do, how God wants them to serve, and how God is working in their lives. Realizing that God works in each of us at a different pace, so to speak, teaching us and showing us the things that need to be accomplished in our very own lives, as well as how we might be able to serve in the ministry. And yet to realize, as much as Paul is saying to us, that there is, with this sense of humility and service, there is a great bonding agent which is called the unity of the faith, or the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office," and that in itself shows us a unity, many different people coming together as one, but all have not the same ability or office as to serve. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." And so instead of seeing ourselves as separate from one another, we should see ourselves as a part of one another in what is going on in the body of Christ. And so as we have this visual acuity which is given to us, this spiritual visual acuity of knowing that each person in the church is gifted, each person has been given a measure of faith, each person has a walk of faith to live, each person is a part of the whole, then we all begin to say to one another, "Well, let me help you. How can I serve you? How can I be a part of what you are doing and to make things better? And as each of us do that, then all of a sudden the body begins to work together instead of being in conflict with one another. And as has been explained many times and used as an illustration, you know, our very physical body itself works together. Though each part of our body is separate and individual, in the sense that each part of our body has something different to do, yet we realize that if it didn't work together, if it was in conflict, why, we wouldn't know what to do next, would we? The hand might want to go do something else when the head tells it to do one thing. Or the leg, or the any other part of our body. The body is uniquely made and individual in its membership, but at the same time it is a unit, a oneness, a wholeness, and the body of Christ is meant to be the same. The church is meant to be the same. We're to function the same way. When I see Judy doing what she's doing, I should be realizing that, well, she's doing what she's doing, and I should be so happy that she's doing what she's doing that I can not only be in agreement with her, but I can aid her in any way that I can. And the same thing should be true of what you could say about anybody else in the body of Christ. You should be that concerned about the other person that you want that other person to function so completely and wholly that you want to aid that person and do it if you can. If you possibly can. And they to you. It doesn't go just one direction, you see. The whole body comes together to work together and is fitly joined together and are one member. Therefore, in verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so as you read down through there, you get that sense that God is just working throughout the body of Christ in a most unique way. And that no one person or one part of the body should be jealous or envious or in any way in conflict with the other, but in complete harmony with the whole. Because each has their own particular function. And the great superintendent, if you will, over this is the Lord. You see, that's God is the superintendent. Jesus Christ is our superintendent, if you will, who is above each one of us and should be directing us, is directing us. It's just whether or not we are in tune with the Lord on a daily basis so that we can receive those directions as he indicates them to us, which practically is explained in the phrase measure of faith. Because God has given to each of us a measure of faith. And we need to respond in kind as God has given that to us. Now, it is admittedly each of us, we're going to have trouble with that, of course, from time to time. Sometimes, you know, we hammer our finger and it's sore. Now, for some reason, when I had the nail and the hammer in my hand, I missed the nail head and I hit my finger. I was somehow a little bit out of unity with my thumb. And I found myself hitting my thumb instead of the nail. You see, sometimes we get just a little bit out of tune with the body. And that calls our attention to the problem, and we say, Lord, just help me not to do that next time, because that hurts too much. You know, the same thing spiritually can happen, right? We can get a little bit out of tune with somebody, get in a little conflict, find it a little bit painful, and we have to try to correct the problem and say, Lord, I confess I was perhaps a little bit too harsh, a little bit too quick to judgment, whatever it might be, and we have to reassess the situation and say, Lord, just help me not to do that again. In a practical way, we need to try to see that we are to work together in the body of Christ, and that we are all a part of the whole, which the Lord talks about and Paul indicates, and to not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but to see the role or the office or the measure of faith that God has given to us, to see that as something that God has assigned to us, and that we just need to function in that role at this particular time. Now, God may give us some growth in some areas. It may be you have started out with one gift, and the Lord has over time grown you into another gift, or in another area of responsibility. Your gifting can grow as you walk with the Lord, and you may find yourself serving in different capacities and areas of gifting that you did not know you could function in. But that's part of God's growth process in us, and we just need to wait on the Lord for those things. And then we'll just go on a little bit further here. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectionate one to another, and with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Well, perhaps this is another good area we could speak to just a little bit. He says, in honor, preferring one another. Now, as each of us realize what the Lord is trying to teach us in verse 3, that we ought not to think too highly of ourselves, but to consider according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then, as we get down to verse 10, we know that this love, this faith, this growth which we have in Christ is to bring fruit. And so we begin to realize that as we don't puff ourselves up, we then take on the role of preferring others instead of ourselves first. Pride wants to put yourself first. Conceit wants to glorify self. But to prefer one another before yourself is to take on the true garments of humility and in the true bond of love. And I think that also fits very well into what we're saying here this afternoon about what it means to have these gifts and to serve within the body of Christ, and not to be too high-minded ourselves, but to live in humility and to prefer the other person, and so to serve the other person rather than seeking to serve oneself. Verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Notice how service continues to run as a theme through what Paul is saying. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that do weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. And again, verse 16 connects well with what we've already said about humility, that we ought to prefer one another, that we ought to have this sense of humility within our life. And as he says in verse 16, that we ought to be of the same mind, that sense of one-mindedness. And then he says to condescend to men of low estate, shouldn't see ourselves as better or higher than others, but rather the same as within the body of Christ, and to be not wise in your own conceits. So this whole passage really reflects a sense of service and of humility and a true sense of oneness in the body of Christ, and that we do function as each one in your own gifts and in your own abilities. And so the sense of service through these gifts is according to the work of God, the Holy Spirit's work in us, and our conforming to the image of Christ, chapter 12, 1 and 2. See, it comes back to that, doesn't it? Conforming or being transformed into the mind of Christ. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we ask your blessing upon these thoughts this afternoon and pray you will minister them to us according to your design and your working in us. In Jesus' name, amen.